Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again. Welcome back to the Lucky Titan. And today we're here with Sarah Allred. We call her Sarah Grace for short.
Heck yes. Yeah, welcome.
Like, that's me. But I'm excited to have Sarah here. She is the founder of Sarah Grace Live and of the Victress brand, which is an up and coming brand, which I am excited to share with you guys today because Sarah is probably one of the best people I've seen in quite a while at attracting a great group of people. She has great energy. So I'm excited to have her today to just dive into this topic. So Sarah, say what's up to everybody and we'll hop in.
Hey, everybody. Josh Tapp. This is a total honor. I just think the world of what you do how you make people's businesses explode in the world of podcasting. So I'm a fan, thrilled to be here.
I appreciate it. It's always fun to meet people who are as excited about business as I am. So let's nerd out over it. So I want to ask you a couple of questions just to kick this off, Sarah, because there are a lot of men in the entrepreneurship space, right? We've talked about this before the call as well. And they like to, as men, we like to share our stories, but we're kind of a little bit more rough with our stories. So I want to know what kind of your methodology is and your reasoning behind having women share their stories.
Oh, I love that question. I'm kind of obsessed with women in entrepreneurship. And I think it's because I have such a deep love for the men in entrepreneurship. I just have such an admiration for how they have changed my life and those who have mentored me. I have such a deep respect. And I think I feel really, really driven to really call out the fact that when men are trying to connect with an audience, it is really, really different compared to when women are trying to connect to an audience. And so I love to point out the fact, for one reason only, that women want to feel part of a group of allies as women, whereas men actually immediately seek for, like, I want a powerful guide or a mentor. They're really drawn to that kind of language in entrepreneurship. Guess what? Women are different. Women want to feel part of, like, the bus stop gang, like next door. They want the friend next door when they are communicating in an entrepreneurial way. And so I think, man, if you wanted to shut off the podcast right now and change your marketing to women and connecting with women, be their ally, be their friend in how you message and how you connect. And the sky is the limit when you can nail that right off the bat.
I love that. What a cool way to put it. I mean, it's so funny that we try to market to both. And a lot of people look at this topic, and this is why this is going to be a funny one, because it's going to be very controversial in the comments. But
oh, sweet.
People are going to say, oh, it's sexist to try and, like, segregate based on gender. But the reality is that when you're marketing, you have to speak to them differently. And the majority, it's not saying every single woman reacts the same way and every single man reacts the same way, but it's two different markets, two different groups of people.
So different, Josh. And I would put that on your listeners to say, you know what? The burden is on you to know your person. And right. as you hear more about how we market to women specifically and how you've been taught to market in a more male dominant way, the burden is on you to know your person, to know what is my person going to resonate with. And I think success will follow if you know your person.
I love that. You know, this kind of reminds me, my wife always jokes with me about this. She's probably going to listen to this and laugh, because we'll go to church and old women gravitate towards me. They just love, like, I mean, 90-year-old women, they just love to sit down and chat with me. Growing up, I thought all these women were my grandmas. Apparently they weren't. They were just neighbor women. I grew up just loving, I love old ladies. And weirdly enough, our brand has done the same thing. And we've attracted a lot more women to us, weirdly enough, you know, and not in, like, a womanizing way. It's just, for some reason, me or my brand or something attracts women, even though the Lucky Titan, I mean, it couldn't be branded more male. it's kind
so
of interesting.
Funny.
Yeah.
It's really, really fascinating. And I think that, Josh, you of anybody, you know how to, like, understand what gets people to move and gets people interested and gets people to action and all that kind of stuff. So it's always fun to look under the hood and be like, you actually are marketing so much more in a female way. Like, oh, we could talk about that after the show for sure. But it's really neat to be able to dive in and see the secrets behind it. Don't you think?
Oh yeah. I'm excited to hear that. It's, I would normally be offended by that comment, but I love it.
We're just getting real.
I'm
here.
I'm being feminine with my marketing, apparently, and I want to know why. So let's dive in. I want to ask you this question, because I want to know kind of that epiphany moment for you where you said, I need to help women. I need to help women become entrepreneurs, because in my conversation with you before this and for my research and everything, that seems to be your core founding thing is helping women who don't feel like they could be entrepreneurs to empower them to be entrepreneurs and to become successful with it. So what was that like epiphany moment, pivotal moment for you?
Okay. It is like clear as day in my brain. Okay. Clear as day. I was sitting at a business conference and I was surrounded by thousands of entrepreneurs. And I came home from that experience and I was like, I'm going to change the world. Oh my gosh. Like this is all going to happen for me. And I started my coaching business to try and implement some of these things to go. And what I noticed, all my clients, okay, I had like a dozen clients that were doing one-on-one coaching and they were all getting stuck really early on in the game of business. Really early on. And so I kept going back to the masters and learning and like, why are all my women like just getting that first like $1,000 in the bank from a business was so incredibly hard. And so I started to explore more of how I could help them move through these barriers. And I ran into what was the hero's journey. This is such a common way that we market, right? As we use that framework to connect with our audience and all that kind of stuff. Well, like heads up people, guess what? There is a female version of the hero's journey that is for a female. And the really interesting part before we like dive into that whole mess, okay, the reality is that the biggest battle that the victress or that the woman faces is actually at the very beginning of the journey, because she feels that what she desires out of business, whether it is money, whether it is a voice, whether it is impact, is actually something that a male should want. And she stops. She absolutely stops in that moment. And that's why so many women's businesses can't get off the ground from zero figures to even, you know, $1,000, is because we get stuck in this whole idea that, gosh, me wanting to make money, that's something a man is supposed to do. I'm really wanting to impact the world. That's something traditionally associated with what a man's role is. And I have just found that to not be the case. And I know that your comments below, we can talk about this. About how women, if women can get over that hurdle, that it's actually okay for them to explore those kinds of endeavors, the sky is the limit for them.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and I love how passionate you are about this because it gets me riled up too. I'm getting goosebumps over here. When it comes to, and this is, again, it's going to be kind of a controversial thing, right? I think a lot of women, and I love that you mentioned, because I've never really thought of that, is they're worried it's putting them in the role of a man. Right. I want to kind of break that apart, because it's interesting to watch that a lot of women don't want to look feminist, or they don't want to look
totally
too conservative. And so they're concerned that business is going to put them in one of those two categories. But there's really, I've seen this working with so many women, that there is a third category of people who are just incredible entrepreneurs. Some of the most successful people you'll ever meet who are women, who aren't the right wing, left wing, whatever you want to call it, right? They're very Absolutely. Strong people as a whole. So I kind of want you to pick apart breaking through that hurdle, because that's something that I think could very easily unpack for us.
Oh, absolutely. And if I can be so elementary as to bring in a couple of Disney characters, I think it's easy to see it within.
Marvel is owned, or Disney owns Marvel. So, you know,
we're in good company. I knew I would be. So if you look, I think it's really easy to illustrate it. And that way, when you as a woman or as a man trying to market to a woman, when you go back to this interview, this will help spark some ideas on how you can better reach your customers. I want you to picture Moana. So Moana is told from the day that she is born that she is not to go beyond the reef and that she is meant to be the leader of her tribe. I mean, that's what the whole like first Disney likes to put this moment into song, like always, yeah. When they are told what they are supposed to do. And so, but she has this inner pull, right? We call it the spark. She has this inner pull to explore the ocean, but she constantly says, no, I'm supposed to stay here and I'm supposed to be the leader of my tribe. Mulan, the same way. She is supposed to go to the matchmaker. She's supposed to not speak at the dinner table. And yet she has this draw. She sings in the fountain, right? Like, who's this girl that I see? I want to be something different. And the reality is, like, in the time of this recording in 2021, I think that we can look both at Moana and we can look at Mulan, and we can see the huge amount of value that Mulan, with her amazing feminine nature, combined with her courage and strength that may lean more on the masculine side, what that will bring to her future family, to her marriage, to her life, to her future endeavors. We can see value in that cartoon character, right? Moana, she goes on this adventure, she comes back, and we can see the value that Moana is going to bring to her culture by having gone on that kind of exploration to find Maui and defeat Te Ka and all that kind of stuff. And that is really the key that when I work with my entrepreneurs to help them see that if you go on this endeavor to become a woman who can make tough decisions, who can lead a team, who can speak out about things she's passionate about, imagine what it's going to be like when you return back as a mother, when you return back as a wife to those seemingly feminine, you know, sides of us. It's actually a full circle victory that we're able to show up in our motherhood, being better decision makers, leading a team, you know, doing those things that will make our lives more enriched in the process. So I hope that as controversial as it may feel to listeners, or may feel new to listeners, I hope that we can see the value in a man being nurturing and a man being tender as much as we can see a woman having a voice and a woman exploring her own passions. I think there is space for all of it.
I love that. And it's what I love about what you're doing is you're breaking that mold, right? You're saying, let's go from feeling like it's black or white, right? We tend to do that as humans, is it's either one way or it's the other. There's no in between. But the reality is that you can embrace both sides. I know for me, right? And this is, I have a guy who works with me here. He's our podcast producer, and he had the same thing as me, where a lot of people actually questioned if I was gay in high school. I'm as straight as an arrow, right? And the truth of it is, though, is that because I was kind of more, I like to have deeper conversations and talk with people and everything. As a man, it was really emasculating to want to be that way. And so in business, when I first came in, I was constantly being like, I don't want to be perceived as gay. I really don't. And you know, whether you believe in that or not, is not it's inconsequential to this. But for me, it was like, I want to be portrayed as the man, so I wouldn't be on the emotional side, right? But I did realize that, especially with marketing, you have to be so dedicated to empathy and to understanding people. And I found that it actually gave me a leg up because I actually cared about the people and not just the money side, you know? And that's what it seems like what you're talking about, the Moana story as well, right? Is as women, it can be that other way around. It can be, you know, I don't want to be the man. I was always, you know, in my childhood, I'm stuttering so bad. In my childhood, I was, perceived as a tomboy, or people thought I was a lesbian or something when I wasn't. And so they shy away from that, you know, and it's so interesting to hear the way you unpack that. So what's that step that you found that you have to take your people through to where they're actually feeling like, hey, I can do this. And not only are they feeling it, but they're doing it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I think you actually just gave away the absolute answer is that they have to take a step. They have to make a commitment of some kind. So we talk all about the hero's journey, and that is probably largely familiar to your audience. And similarly, in the victor's journey, the woman has to go through a gate. She has to make a commitment of some kind. And so to be able to encourage us in order to kind of break that mold and get a feel for what is it like to pursue my passions, or what is it like to dedicate time to the things I'm interested in? What does that look like? They make a commitment. And that means they're either hiring a coach, or they're taking a class, or they're going to a conference, or it is like actual, like, go get beyond the reef, go get started, so that you can actually start to explore what is inside you. And so it's a seemingly obvious answer, take a step, but it is the answer to break through the hardest ordeal that specifically women go through when starting their businesses.
Yeah. And I think that's such, and I have to tell everybody this too, because you're a mom. And you only work 12 hours a week, right? Is that what you said?
Right. Right. I've got mom of four kids. Yeah.
I mean, I look at that. A lot of people would say, oh, well, you couldn't do it then, you know, or you can't do it in 12 hours. You know, I try to only work 20 hours a week. Don't always hit it, but that's kind of my goal. And to keep my business growing within 20 hours a week, it's cool to see that the way that you structured your business is built around that. And that's how you're attracting people to, is because you're super polarizing, right? As you're saying, hey, it's okay. Let's take a step together. That's what I love. I love about your messaging.
And I love that, like, the word polarizing scares me a little bit. And then I'm like, wait, that's okay. I'm going to be a little bit polarizing today. That's okay. It is possible.
And for you, I mean, it's going to be what attracts people to you, because I always think of the clarion call, you know, of calling in people to what you're talking about, you know, and most people, I don't think people realize this, but the reason why 99% of entrepreneurs are failing is because they're unwilling to hire somebody to force them to make the step. And I kind of have to
repeat
that, right? They're scared to pay somebody to be an accountability partner. And that is the only thing that matters. Your skills don't matter. Your saleability doesn't matter. Your offer doesn't matter. If you're not going to take that step, you're never going to make any money. And you're not going to do it unless you have somebody who's like, hey, you just paid me, you know, 10 grand or whatever. Are you going to do it? You know, make this step happen.
Oh, Josh, like, we need way more time. That's what I got to say right now. We need way more time. Everybody just rewind what he just said. Like, there's nothing else that matters. Like, make that commitment and get going, just total gold there, Josh.
I appreciate that. I think people don't realize this is what I love about the way that you're coaching people as well, is you're saying, let's just break through those barriers together. And it's not like a one-time thing. I mean, for me, anytime I'm stuck, I know I need to go spend money, right? And I need to spend so much that it hurts. That's my philosophy. Some people don't believe in that, but for me, I'm like, I need to go invest in a coach or invest in somebody, maybe an agency or somebody who's going to hold me accountable and make things happen for me in a way that it's going to hurt if I don't do it. Because I'm like, man, I just spent $100,000 on that. It better pay out. You know, I better do my part to make it pay out.
I love that. And Josh, let me just point out something you just said and flip it of what a woman would experience, that many women will feel like everything that I choose to do has a cost. So like me sitting here across from you, I am not with my kids in this moment. It is costing me something, right? That is such a heavy, in the world of Russell Brunson, this is a domino, like sneak peek. This is the big domino for women. FYI. Okay. There's your $10,000 answer. Okay. The love big it. Domino is that everything has a price, particularly for women. And remember, I love men in the entrepreneur world. Okay. but just know that that's such a huge domino. And so the ability for a woman to step in and define what I would call a constraint is so critical. So you just decide. I decided early on 12 hours a week was my max. And that's what we've done. And we've made miracles happen in those 12 hours a week through a lot of focus, But maybe yours is, I'm going to spend $2,000 a month on a coach. Do it. Define that constraint. And if 2,000 is all you can spend, you find the best coach you can find for 2,000 and make that happen. Those constraints will make you as creative as possible, and your business will stand out more than anything. Don't look at Josh Tapp's numbers on Instagram and be like, he's killing it because his stuff is so much bigger than mine. He is defining his own constraints too. He has to go spend $100,000 when he's stuck. That's right. His constraint. If you can define one for you too, it will get you out of the same funk that Josh experiences, that I experience. And again, that magic is on the other side of it.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned, I mean, it has to hurt.
it has to hurt.
It's going to hurt, because you cannot, that success does not happen where it doesn't hurt. I know that a lot of women, that is a big struggle with the women I've worked with, is they're like, I'm scared of the pain. I don't want to look stupid. And I feel like as women, especially, they get ridiculed a lot by their peers and their family when they don't succeed at business. And so for a lot of women, that's where they're like, I don't want to look bad. I don't want this to happen, you know? And I watched my mom, you know, my mom and my dad did network marketing for years, and she's still amazing. To this day, just emotional trauma from that, because she, even though they had their successes and failures, it's that constant, we failed, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that kind of thing. Yeah. And that's, it's sad to watch those sort of stories happen when there's so many other people that are out there winning, so many other women that are out there winning. And you could be one of them. Business isn't a if game, like if it'll work, it's always a when game. It's like, how long are you going to stick?
Always. Who will stay the longest in the arena? Yeah. For sure. Oh, and Josh, can I just interrupt you for like 1 second? I'm so sorry. Thinking about your sweet mom, like, makes my heart absolutely explode.
Yeah.
And I hope that everybody can point out, male or female, a moment in which they got a fire lit under their rear end. to get going. And I think about, I had this large goal that I had in business, and it was a particular experience that I wanted to be a part of, a group of people I wanted to be a part of. So I did what like any good person would do. And I said, okay, who are the people that have accomplished what I want to accomplish, and how did they get there? And I made a spreadsheet. Like, how crazy is that? All their names and like, how did they get there? And what really happened in the process was crushing, because what I saw is all the people that had accomplished it, they had lost their marriages in the process. Their kids didn't know who they were. I'm being a little bit general and dramatic here for time's sake, but I started to look and say, wait a minute, if that is the price I have to pay to reach that goal, I don't want it anymore. Like, I could make a lot more money if I worked 40 or 60 hours a week. I could, but I don't want it. I don't want it right now. And so ask yourself that question, like, what is the moment that lit your fire? And just let that be your driving force, because I'm determined to still reach that business goal with my marriage intact, with my faith in God intact, with my kids knowing who I am in a 12-hour work week. I haven't hit it yet, but it's a lot closer than it was, you know, even just a few months ago. So let that fire moment with your sweet mom. I love her. I want to hug her so much.
I will for you.
Let that be a driving force. Do it for me. Yeah.
Like, this is from Sarah. She's like, who? I love that. Well, so I want to throw a couple of names out here, because like you said, there are a lot of people that have lost their marriages along the way and all these things, you know, and I had that same realization at one point where I was like, man, I don't want to be a billionaire.
Tell me, Josh, gosh,
I don't want to be a billionaire. Everybody is like, oh, well, that's the goal of every entrepreneur, but there is a lifestyle. I know for us, we hit a point about a couple of years ago where I was like, I don't need more money. Like, we're kind of at a point where I'm like, I could really just be happy with what we have. And it was a lot less money than people would think, right? They're thinking, oh, well, it was millions of dollars. It wasn't millions of dollars. There's a point where you realize it's not worth the sacrifice of time or the other things in your life to be successful. Not to say you can't, because I mean, you look at, so the names I want to throw are like Carl Allen, right? This guy has almost $1 billion empire. And I think he only works 10 to 15 hours a week. Katie Richardson, goals. One of my coaches, right? Katie Richardson, one of my coaches, she's also a coach as well, but she built like $100 million company.
Pudge Tub.
As a mom. Yeah. Pudge, you know, wow. You know, everybody, holy cow.
We're just making good connections. Yep.
But just amazing people who've done so successful. They've been so successful, but they're still having a good, successful life. Jesse Itzler, right? Great people like that. So fun to see that you've done that. Sarah Grace is another one of those names. You're going to be seeing that millions of dollars and she'll be like, yeah, I work 5 hours a week.
We're getting there, Josh. We're working towards it for sure.
Almost there, guys, just so you know. So Sarah, you know, this is sad, but we are coming up to the end of the interview here. I want to ask you for just a couple pieces of guidance and advice here at the end. And the first one I want to ask you is, If you could give us one final parting piece of guidance, what would it be?
I love loaded questions like that, Josh, especially when I'm a talker. No, it is so good. It's going to sound a little bit spiritual in nature, but it really is something that is a driving force for me. And that is, commit today to reach your form of success on your terms. I cannot express the pain and the victories that I have seen in the entrepreneurship world by people giving everything to reach success, or by be willing to get nothing and not reaching success. And I know that doesn't sound crazy eloquent. That's not going to like show up on your Instagram page as like this awesome quote, but be okay with getting there on your terms. Like, I think miracles are absolutely possible. And if someone would have told me you could never hit what you've hit in 12 hours a week, I probably would have said, you're right, but don't have those voices there, and be determined to reach what you wanted to reach on your terms, and very clearly spell out what you are and are not willing to give up as part of this process. Surrounding yourself with people like Josh and Katie Richardson that was out here, and a couple of your past interviews, I just absolutely devoured. You've really curated a unique group of entrepreneurs that are going after so much more than $1 billion. And I think that's what's special about your community. So my parting words is, get there and make sure you do it on your terms.
I love that. And I was going to ask you a follow-up question to that, but that was just so succinct, just a mic drop moment. So everybody, first off, you can go connect with Sarah. You can see what's going on in her world over at sarahgracelive.com/Victress12. Be a Victress. I love that brand, first off. And then on top of that, if you like this interview, make sure you go rate us, leave us a review on iTunes. We would love that. Further than that, I think we're good to go, Sarah. So do you have any other parting pieces of guidance you want to give us?
Just do it on your terms, people. Hate to be a broken record, on your terms. Let's do it.
Do it on your terms. Thank you so much, Sarah. Have a good one.
Thanks, Josh.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you learned anything from this or any other episode, make sure you rate it and share it with another entrepreneur it could help. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the flip side.